Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Live, Bomb for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Grand Bahama News, the Ministry of Tourism, the National Insurance Board, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ross Electric Motors.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company. It feels like almost a Scotch record when we hear these solemn songs play and our spirits are pricked to know that someone's in transition. It feels like we've heard this before. It's eerie, almost like deja vu. Has this happened before? We've gone through this number, this rhythm, this motion now significantly over the past year and some, identifying men and women who towered, who stood tall, steadfast in their convictions and committed to service. They've transitioned. Today is another one of those days, May 13th, 2024. We've recognized, identified the passing of what many would consider, me included in that many, a Bahamian hero. His conviction steadfast, his commitment to service unquestionable. He's lived a great life that started with humility and the determination to move forward with strength, with vigor, with the lessons from Delectable Bay in Acklands, where he says to me that I didn't even know he was poor. We just knew that this was the way of life. And with less than a dollar in his pockets, he traveled. Went off and was able to acquire a great deal of education only to come back and be identified for his consistency, his commitment, his passion, his vision, and been afforded an opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, A. Loftus Roker has passed away yesterday at the age of 88. I was always taken back by the opportunities he's given me to speak with him. I really was the first time he walked in the studio. He says, "The great Howard Grant." I said, "Me? I don't know, buddy." He was at the studio at More 94. And Bahamian Trey was there with us as the producer. And Trey was elated to meet him. Trey called me last night in a somber mode. He said, Howard, Loftus passed away. I said, man, listen, I'm right here trying to figure out how we can do this thing tomorrow. And as we hear about it and we hear these things, these stories, these ideas, we realize that our worth and value is more than what we could acquire, what we could attain, the stuff of life. But more so, your legacy exists in what you can give. Ladies and gentlemen, at the age of 88 years old, a Bahamian giant has drifted off into the long good night. I want to be able to take this time to be able to recognize just for a short bit an opportunity that I had here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on the foundation to be able to speak with Loftus Roker. I can pay a little piece of that. Let me get back. I'd love you guys to kind of give me a call to be able to send your condolences to the family, to send your condolences. And let's try to identify, what is this representation? We have come to a very clear understanding. My good friend, Apostle Devin Rule, has already laid it out. In this 51st year, this is the first year that we are on the outer bands of the Pinlin era. It has drifted over us. The eye was over us for a significant time and we didn't know the tribulation. And as that time moved and the outer bands now, and the first year of that, we lose Loftus Roker. What is the implication? What is this saying from a social standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint? Let's talk about that. Here's a little piece of that interview, ladies and gentlemen. The life and time of A. Loftus Roker.
How do I breathe without you? I'm feeling so cold. I'll be waiting right here for you.
I want to ask you, let's put a foundation out there. Let's kind of structure this and see exactly what's what. This year is our year of Jubilee. This year is the golden anniversary that we celebrated, 50 years of independence. And a lot of persons will kind of push back on that. We never truly was independent. We have self-governance. We don't know what true independence is. There is this kind of an idea that exists that says that we never fought for anything. That's why we don't have an appreciation for it. Be that as it may, we're in the 50th year after 1973. We're celebrating 2023. In July of this year, we're going to be celebrating 50 years as a sovereign people, as a sovereign nation. But I want to get from you, what were some of the ideas at the inception when the British flag fell and the Bahamian flag rose, and the idea that kind of permeated our society, the ideas that existed at the gates of the city, at the restaurant, at the spaces where men, prominent men would hang out. What were some of the ideas of stepping into this new space? I know that there was this kind of an idea and contention existing between the UBP and the white oligarchs that existed, and how we're going to be able to look going forward. But tell me about that, and let's see if we can be able to build from there.
Well, first of all, I always said that the UBP, or those who controlled the UBP, didn't need independence. Mm-hmm. They were the descendants of the slave masters. Mm-hmm. So they didn't need independence. We needed the black people who were slaves. We needed freedom. And there was a discussion in the House, mm-hmm, about how our economy will go down if we became independent. Mm-hmm. And we have no money to have an army. And the front page of the Tribune, which I have, mm-hmm, said Roker says he doesn't care about the state of the economy. He wants independence, which is true, which I said. Mm-hmm. At the time, my independence had nothing to do with the state of the economy. Mm-hmm. I want to be free. That has nothing to do with the economy. It doesn't matter if I'm starving, I want to be free. And other people like Ala Hanna, and I was shocked, I was surprised that Cecil Wallace Whitfield, he had the same view.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Free PLP lost the by-election in Andros to Darrell Road, and the UBP lost the election, they lost their deposits, the Free PLP decided they had to join with the UBP. And that, in my view, was a sad thing because it caused a lot of problems in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Cecil had to go along with the UBP idea. Independence, not now. Not under the PLP.
Mm.
But Cecil wanted independence. Mm. Other folks wanted independence.
Mm-hmm.
But they...
The Free PLP eventually became the Free National Movement.
But it joined with the UBP.
But it was fused with the UBP.
And the UBP had the majority of seats.
Let me ask you this before we go any further. We're getting political, but I want to know. As you said, you believe that wasn't necessarily the best decision to make. Do you believe that decision to join with the UBP, the mindset that existed at that time, contaminated the potential of the Free PLP, which is now the Free National Movement?
Yeah, that is true. I am saying they were forced, in my view, to go along with the UBP.
Because agenda, because their agenda was established.
That is right. That is right.
So because you're just forming and you are almost a radical group and you don't have no establishment, you don't have any finances, you don't have anything, the merger caused them to go with who got the money?
Called
the shots.
Also they figure because of that election where they lost their deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And the UBP got more votes than they did in Andros at the time. They decided they better join up with the opposition. And that happened. And that created a lot of problems because then they had to be against independence.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell me this.
Independence not under the PLP. That's what the Free PLP was saying. The UBP was saying, we don't want independence.
And this would have been kicked up from when? 67? When was this kind of discussion?
No, about 60. It's about 70.
In 70.
Yeah.
So it was a 3-year campaign, a 3-year run to say independence, but definitely not under the PLP.
No. They said that when they left the PLP.
When they left the PLP.
Right.
Okay. So tell me this. What was the PLP's sentiment? What was their kind of drive and their push after all of this is happening in the environment, after persons are, you know, who oppose the PLP's view, seeking to forge partnership to come against the PLP? What was their position the entire time?
Well, first of all, you have to recognize that time. Most of us who went to England to school met a lot of people from different countries who were fighting for independence from Britain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we got to talk with them and understand all of this. And that is why when Ada Hanna and L.O. Pinden came back home, even then we were thinking about independence. Even though you know you could not, you had to be careful. You had to try and get some votes first.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get people believing in you. You know, when we were having the 1972 election for independence, I went to Andros, Low Sound, and I spoke to a lady called Eunie Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, you know, there's a lady called Princess Dean who want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left Eunie Campbell, I went to Princess Dean. She's a woman who couldn't read or write.
Mm-hmm.
That's the system we were living under. She said to me, "Mr. Roker, you know, the first time I voted was for Clarence Bean and Cyril Stevenson. Mm-hmm. And the next, after that, I voted for you. But I want you to tell me whether we could handle independence." Mm. This is a woman who can't read or write now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I said, "Yes, lady, yes."
But she couldn't expect nothing else from you. You just say, and in front of the Tribune, you don't care if we starve.
That's right.
Let us get our independence.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're saying to me that there was a disconnect socially. People didn't understand what this meant. Are we going to go hungry?
Right.
Are we going to be without bread?
And bearing in mind now that the white Bahamians control most of the
money.
Of the money and the businesses.
Everything.
Everything. So, we were lucky if you owned a mom and pop store.
But you still had to play fair, because even with a mom and pop, that makes you a retailer of sorts. You still had to go to the wholesaler.
To the white man.
Yeah, they go back to the white man.
Yeah, that is true. And I am saying, that is why I got up in the house and said it didn't matter. The economy had nothing to do with my need for independence. If I starve, I want it.
Who shared your sentiments?
Arana.
Arana.
Pinyin did too. But you know, and people don't remember this. Mm-hmm. In 1962, when I returned to the Bahamas from England as a lawyer, I practiced law with Sir Lyndon from 62 until 67 when he became premier. Mm-hmm. So he knew me. He knew me well. Most of what I was saying, they agreed with it. But you know, one day I said to him, "But why aren't you backing me up? Since you agree with me, why aren't you backing me?" He says, "Loftus, you don't want to be prime minister. I want to be prime minister." "You say what you have to say. I support you. But I can't say it because some of the fellas who you're talking about, I need them to support me."
Yes, yes.
"And if I get up, if I start this thing, I'm not going to get any support and I may not be premier." And he knew I didn't want to be, I didn't even want to be a minister.
You had no aspirations for it.
All I wanted to do was to be in parliament, not in the
but
Senate.
But it couldn't just be, because I feel like a lot of persons locally now, in this kind of an era that we live in, persons move towards this opportunity to be able to get in politics, right? So they want to get in politics because of the social perception. "Oh man, you know, I got power, you know, I was an MP," so forth. But where was your heart when you said to Pinyin, "I want to be in parliament. I don't need all these other things. I want to be in parliament"? Was your heart with the people to fight for your constituents?
Yeah.
Or was your heart with being able to create the legislation to see the country move forward?
Look, financially, I was better off as a lawyer.
Well, I can tell you that today.
Than being in
I can tell you that.
Parliament.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I give you this case in 62. I ran in Athens in 62. I didn't win. A white fellow
won. That's your own people, eh? My God.
A white fellow won. Basil Kelly. Mm-hmm. Who has no connection with Athens.
But he's a white man.
He's a white man.
So the perception is, he got money.
So, I went up there one time, and in Crooked Island, a fellow who supported me came to me and said, "Look, the opposition have somebody with money, and he buying drinks and stuff for the people and all that. Mm. I'd like £40 from you, so I could do the same thing for you." Mm. Because when we go to these bars, you know, they buying liquor for their man.
You gotta match them.
And I gotta match them. I told him, you know, I sorry to hear that.
You'll be sober today.
But I'm against that.
You'll be sober today.
I am fighting against that. Mm-hmm. Type of thing. I don't want anybody to buy any vote for me. I understand what you're saying, but I can't help you with that. Later on, I was sorry because I know that he meant well.
Mm-hmm. He didn't need the 40 pounds for rum. He needed the 40 pounds for something else, sounded like, 'cause 40 pounds ain't a little bit.
Yeah, but that would have been for the whole campaign.
Okay, okay.
The whole campaign. He's saying when at the bar, when they're buying liquor for their people, he wanted to be able to buy liquor for my people and all that. Mm-hmm. And I told him no.
So tell me this. Your integrity was in place. What was your convictions? Your convictions was, I need to see Acklins at a better position. I need to be able, because you often referred to Acklins as one of the poorest islands in the Commonwealth.
Still is.
In the Commonwealth of Bahamas.
Still is.
It still is.
But the trouble is, with us, part of our problem is, I say, I want to be better than you. Mm-hmm. And I've been to school, I'm smarter than you. Mm-hmm. So how could you have more money than me? Mm-hmm. That's our problem. Instead of worrying about yourself, you were saying you don't want me to succeed because you're smarter than me. If you check Acklins, you'll find we had two governor generals, mm-hmm. Arahana and Clifford, Sir Clifford Darling. We had two commissioners of police, Reginald Ferguson and Paul Farquharson. We had all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. So there is a significant intellectual element in Acklins.
Yeah.
But it doesn't equate when you come to Acklins and you look around, you see.
You wonder what happened, how they get all these people and there's nothing in Acklins.
Did you desire to change that?
I tried to. Even after they didn't support me and I got in Andrews. First of all, I tell them now, don't ask me for anything because the people I represent, the people of Andrus.
Mm-hmm. You're telling your own Acklins people this?
I'm telling my Acklins people this. Because once I got there...
And they just let you come back home?
They're happy when I was there. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm making, let's take the airport in Acklins, which is the most important thing ever done in Acklins. Mm-hmm. The government provided funds to extend the runway at Georgetown in Exuma. Mm-hmm. But we discover on the eastern end of the runway was private land, which we had to buy. Or the western end was a swamp, which was going to cost a lot to fill it. So we decided, the government decided, not to extend the runway at Georgetown. Mm-hmm. That we're eventually going to build a new airport, which they did in Morristown. So I went to Arahana, who was then the Minister of Finance, and I said to him, you know, this money, since we're not using this money, let us transfer this money and build an airport in Acklins. This is the first, we will get an opportunity to build an airport in Acklins. He agreed. The one thing about Arahana, he loved Acklins more than I did. Mm-hmm. And anytime you came to him with something for Acklins, he campaigned in Acklins with me more than Pinden did.
Let me ask you this question now, because it seems as though that there is a rich sentiment bubbling up as you tell the story between your colleagues for the development of the family islands, sort of the love and the appreciation of the family islands, and whatever you would have had to go through, tribulations to strengthen yourself, to educate yourself, because I know that we're going to get into the story about the fact that you would have never had a true high school education. You went to Acklins all-age school, you got your certificate and still was able to do well, went to the bar, so forth and so on. So we know that that had to come with dedication, that had to come with study, that had to come through this tribulation. So you got in. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the beginning of a story that has continued to be able to be told about A. Loftus Roker, the life and time that he lived here on this earth.
the passion, the love that he had for his constituency, his community, the vision, the idea, the desire to serve. I want you guys to give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands. Give me a call, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the tech, 422-4796. I got to take this commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. I'd love you to give me a call when we get back right after this.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress in a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle. Every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. You know, we're talking about Loftus Roker. We're talking about his life and his time, his commitment, his service, his steadfast convictions, and being able to serve the country and serve it well. If you listen to the clip just now, he never had aspirations to be the prime minister, right? He'd always talk about his relationship with Lyndon Pinlan and how, you know, they understood him, right? They never gave him any flack. They never gave him any indifference. There was never any significant pushback. But, you know, there was a very clear understanding, Loftus, you don't want to be prime minister. I can't just say anything. I have aspirations. And so this is the life that, and the character, the personality, the vision that embodied A. Loftus Roker. I was always enamored when I had an opportunity to be able to sit with him. Some of the conversations are amazing to me. And you know, I love Bahamian history and politics, and to be able to hear how men made these particular decisions. And so today, when we talk a little bit about Loftus Roker, you know, I want you guys to keep it short for me, if you can be able to do that. I'd love you to give me a call and tell me about some of the experiences that was. And just keep in mind, when they decide to be able to put him down in grand style and they decide to give him a state funeral, so forth and so on, I'd like to take that time out also to be able to recognize and remember the life and time of A. Loftus Roker. Okay, so I don't want to stretch it out too wide today, but I do want to talk about these things. And then the second half, when we get back, I'd like to have further conversation about is there any implications? Do we see anything happening? This, you know, maybe I get a little spiritual with you, but we're going to have a good conversation when we get back on the second half. Let me take this telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good day, Howard. Good day, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you?
Man, I'm deeply saddened by our loss, man. I have to say our loss, because all of us are human. have lost a great one.
Yes.
But I can only sum it up in one word, integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's saddening to see because how we talking about politics right now, that's something that's missing, completely missing from our politicians right now. Integrity, that man stand on his 2 feet, said what he said, meant what he said. And I really appreciate him contributing to the Bahamas and building our country to where it is now. And I just want and pray for our politicians to check out his life. His life, Adriana's life, and try and come back to what our founders were trying to do for our Bahamas, man. You understand? They bled Bahamian, man. And That's a sad day to day out.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are wide open. If you want to be a part of the conversation, I'd love you to do so. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Or hit me up, 422-4796. Got a couple of texts and says, oh, my God. We just had breakfast with him, right? I just had breakfast with him, last year or something like that, you know. It's a very distant breakfast. I'm not going to fight you, right? Every time Bahamian people, you know, when you pass away, someone will say, oh, my God, I just saw them 6 months ago. I just saw them 2 years ago, yeah, whatever, right? So I think that we're going to go through a lot of that, people reminiscing and being able to put their pictures up of the great A. Loftus Roker. Let me take a next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Grant. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good afternoon.
All is well?
Yeah, man. All is well.
Glenn Rollier, man.
Hey. What's up, Glenn?
Listen, I was driving and listening in to your contribution in respect of the Honorable Loftus Roker.
Yes.
And I know you wouldn't miss an opportunity like that, particularly mm-hmm. given its foundational significance to nation building.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to commend you in that regard to have his voice in that space for generations yet to come. But you know, Howard, I worked 2 years down in Crooked Island and Acklands as a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
So he never took me fishing, right? But you know, when you're working in an area where a former cabinet minister was, and that sense of reverence and respect, and to see the extent of which he loved his home, I really want to sort of not only commend him, but he is the expression of what it is to be a community builder. And I just want to lend my voice in that regard, even as you look at the life of the Honorable.
Yes.
Broker. So one time I called him and I said, you know, I want to have a conversation with you. He said, well, you know, the only reason I'm doing this is because you was the sergeant at Auckland. So I used that opportunity, but you're right. To sit in a space to have historical conversation, to hear the perspective of which he has to nation building is refreshing, and I hope future politicians would glean from that as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, man, Glenn, man. I want to thank you so very kindly for contributing today.
Thank you, man. All the best, my brother.
Absolutely. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are wide open if you want to be able to be a part of it. Today we're being able to identify a true hero, a man that may be one of the last proverbial Mohicans to be able to hold steadfast to his convictions and push forward. You have to remember this. This was at a time where the country was shifting significantly. This was at a time where, because of his steadfast, his focus and his steadfast commitment to looking at the overarching objective, maybe he never, because I kept pushing him to ask him about the environment over the course of our conversations, right? I kept pushing him to ask him about how was there dilapidation around, did drugs, play a significant position in the shifting of the country in one space or another. And whilst he mentioned it, he never lingered. He never identified this tribulation as the be-all that ends all. He identified it and kept pushing towards his mark and his objective.
He was steadfast as a community builder. I want to say that. And when he met, you know, when, like I said to you, when we met and he said, the great Howard Grant, I thought about, right now I still think about that. Right now. What does he mean by that? Was it said in jest? Did he mean that? And I keep pondering it and seeking to live up to this concept and idea of the men and women that I hold in high regard, who I only would have heard of in 8 Mile Rock, that very quietly feel like a schoolgirl when you meet them, but you don't want to show that. You want to be decent. Hey, good afternoon. How you doing? And you go home and then, yeah, I talk my wife airs off about it. You wouldn't believe who I had an opportunity to meet today. Oh my God. These are the people that you still want to be able to make proud. And this is the importance of being able to identify mentorship, political and otherwise, that younger persons can actually identify that you can give us proximity, access to men and women of conviction and strength, determination in our community. Let us see that. Let us get close again. Let us see that. Let me hear of you. Let me hear about you. Let me see your works. In years to come, we will never forget it. You know, my friends, the Butlers, right? I know a lot of them. And they really don't know why I feel so privileged to even being considered to come around to have conversations to talk with them. They don't know. I admire their grandfather. I admire their father. I admire their great-grandfather. I admire him so much. I could never take his picture out of my mind as a child to identify a man that looked like me. I'm talking about a black man. On a book as a child who understood this is who he is. And then being taught about him in school. Oh, man, we have to identify heroes in our community. Loftus Roker is deserving of a hero's send-off. Loftus Roker is deserving of a hero's send-off. Every bell and whistle should be pulled to be able to shower him with the accolades, both locally, regionally, and otherwise, however we can do this, because his representation of a man that was steadfast to his convictions, his position, and his commitment is a wonderful thing. He's done a great deal for the country by being able to stand on his convictions. And even though he had significant relationships and could have been able to enjoy a lap of luxury as it relates to being able to simply bow and genuflect when he was asked to, he could not. This is the integrity that we need to be able to see reemerge within our politics. This is the integrity I often speak about when I'm looking at the contrast between men and women that seek to lead and men and women that led with integrity of yesteryear. This is all it is. And the question that I have for you is, Loftus Roker a representation of the last of the proverbial Mohicans? For men with integrity, are we now just merely left with wishy-washy men of little to no faith from a political standpoint? What are we left with? And what is emerging on the horizon? What's coming out of this? Who have you been watching as you develop yourself and prepare yourself to step into leadership? Who have you been watching? Are you going to bring that integrity? Is it going to be fortified and focused, steadfast? Or are you going to be able to play your role and say, hey, baby, me first, you later? I want to talk a little bit more about Loftus Roker, his life and time here from 1935 to 2024, his commitment to service, his signing of the Constitution, the representation thereof. I don't think there are any more of the, I don't think anyone else is left as it relates to persons who signed the Constitution. I don't think, I could be wrong. I'm going to look at the list again. Guys, let me take this commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
Wings are here. Popeyes now has wings in 5 flavors. Honey barbecue, ghost pepper, signature hot, sweet and spicy, and roasted garlic parmesan. Marinated for 12 hours. Hand battered and breaded in a bold Louisiana seasoning. And they're only $7.25 for 6 wings. Taste them.
Crunchy outside.
And juicy inside.
Try the new wings from Popeyes now.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into 2 juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
Here's to the go-getters, the early risers, and the late-night dreamers. You, the visionaries, painting futures in your mind, in your studio, your office, your sacred space. Here's to the adventurers, explorers of every realm. To you, the innovators, turning the cogs of progress in a world where connection is a lifeline, a pathway to possibilities. Alive is the perfect connection for everyone, every lifestyle. Every day.
Visit BeAlive.com today.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. There's crazy stuff going on globally, locally, internally. My God. I'm hoping that you all prayed up as we continue to be able to step out here into the fray. That's just that's the long and short of it. I understand, just reading some information, that the airport's going to be closed for a couple hours as a result of the smoke that's blazing on Coral Harbor Road down there. You're going to be able to see a great deal of smoke that's out there. We talked about this, I think, a few weeks back. We talked about this, how extremely dry it was. Did we say this? How extremely dry it was. Now, I said, Garth and God should be with me tomorrow. Garth and I had good conversations about it. And he says, yeah, the dryness would be an implication of hurricanes. But that's not the first thing that came to my mind when I thought about dryness. The dryness was an indication of forest fires. That's the first thing that came to my mind. And now we're seeing the glass bottles that you guys throw in the bushes and you didn't want your wife to know that you were having that, you know, that extra collect. You need to stop, right? You need to stop. And so these things become magnifying glasses in that area. And with the dry grass, it could cause an eruption. So we continue to be able to ask you to be precautious and treat our environment like all of us have to live here. And we have to take care of it. Don't throw it in the bush with this kind of an idea that says, oh, I ain't gonna get to it. Somebody else, that's somebody else's problem. Let's be as decent as possible. Today, we're being able to identify the life and time that was and that is Loftus Roker at the age of 88. I want to be able to read a short excerpt out of the papers for you. It says his nephew, Dwayne Roker, who was like a son to him, said that he had admitted him to the hospital on Wednesday after he had some shortness of breath and was expected to be discharged within the next couple of days. So his death came as a surprise. He said that he wanted to see me. This is what Dwayne says. And then he says that he didn't make it to the hospital in time and that Loftus was coherent up until his death. And it was shocking to us that we were saying that he would bounce back. As usual, he always just bounced back. Well, he's bounced on to glory. And we continue to be able to recognize him. And he's like a father to many of us. As you are a son to him, Dwayne, he's like a father to the nation, especially the father of conviction that can be able to stand tall. Not just he alone. That first dispensation of leaders out of the pending cabinet had a great deal of commitment and conviction. And we're watching them slowly but surely drift off. I think we got Arthur Folks still with us, Maurice Moore still with us, and we continue to be able to pray for those persons. Lines are wide open, 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Mr. Grant, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, sir?
Awesome, awesome. Great. And to the nation, good day. Mr. Grant, I have a question for you, but before I ask this question, I'd like to make a comment. I see great men like Mr. Loftus Roker, who know had the ability to fix our immigration problem in our country, being pushed in a corner and left to die or wait to die. And now that he is dead, you know, everybody wants to big him up and talk about his abilities or what he could have done. When we had the opportunity to use the man to fix a serious, serious issue in our nation. And we did not use him. We're watching men who have the ability to fix issues in our nation, and we push them in a corner and we tie their hands and we don't use them. And when they die, we speak great words over them and everything, and our country is still broken. My question to you. Now that Mr. Roker is gone, who, sir, do we have to fix our immigration problem in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? Who?
That's a loaded question you asked me. And I don't know whether or not you're ready to get in this conversation. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
All right. The only persons that can fix any issues at this point is the collective society. Now, don't take 100% of people, but it takes a contingent of people who are convicted and steadfast in being able to see this change. Let me tell you why. Be decent, right? We can be decent.
Yes, sir.
We've seen the formation, the development of a new change group come to the forefront. We've seen the formation, right? It was a silhouette, and then it started to have this sort of a formation with We March. Let's just be decent. As a result of We March, a great deal of people was able to kind of run into this and say, wow, these guys, they don't have any commitment from a political standpoint. We see them. We know that John Boswick is there, but it seems like he is steadfast in saying, born free. We are born free. Okay, so it wasn't had no significant affiliation. But as soon as that FNM hat was pulled down on Mr. Henfield's head, I think that shifted the entire mode. That was the conglomerate that can be able to ensure, because once you can't buy no one individual, you got to buy all us, and we 20,000 strong. And if you can't, everyone need the same equality in this kind of a grouping. And if you can't give that to us collectively, then you can't give it to no one individual. That one move with the hat pulling down, after you've already turned your back on Leslie Mitter, as he was supposed to be the liaison between government and this agitation, after you turn your back on him, there was a fortified position. Wow, we got him now. And when you pull that hat down, it shifted the entire mood. So the position is for reform, not just isolated to immigration. For reform in this country, there needs to be a conglomerate that continue to be able to push for 2 terms for prime minister, that continue to push for campaign finance reform, that continue to push for good governance, that continue to push for transparency, that continue to push for significant communication and providing us information that seems to be lurking at the back, that continues to be able to be the government in the sunshine. No pun intended. That's it. Loftus Roker, A.D. Hanna, Milo Butler, Paul Adderley, who else did he make a call? Right? These are men and women, in many instances, the entire suffrage movement, that understood their commitment to community. Y'all just really get me pushing me like this. Y'all just push me like this. I like it, but I hope that you hear my heart. These are men that were cut from a different cloth. Their allegiance was to a community that cared for them, and they cared for that community. The issue is that there's no one man, not in the city of Nassau, not that we know of, that exists that seeks to be able to see a shift and is so strong in his conviction and position that is willing to be able to die on this hill to see this change come to fruition. No one man can do it anymore. We've lost that thread, that umbilical cord that we had that was community. Now, the only way we regain that is if we have a grouping of men and women who have no political affiliation, but has fire in their eyes for reform in our community. That's just my position. That's my take. Let me take a next telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, good afternoon.
I guess most of the young people do not know about A. Loftus Roker.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, he was a people's man. Every time I go by Porter's Key or Montague, he playing
Domino.
Dominoes. He ain't got no bodyguard. You know, fanfare. Simple man.
Mm-hmm.
Man of integrity. The total loan is at him. He's the perfect public servant.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't come to get rich.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't leave much. because he didn't cut no deal.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, on your show, did he tell the story of Lady B?
Yes, he did.
I heard to Haitian Gardeners, he turned down.
Yes, he
because
did.
Because she ain't following policy.
Yes, he
and
did.
And when she called him, he said, "You should have called me first. I have to deny you."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Ella Wayne said nothing after that. Ella Wayne said nothing to him. But Lady B never bought my heart and speak to him since. But life goes on." He's that type of man. That he didn't cut no deals, he didn't, no fanfare, he's integrity, public servant. I don't get my pay as a normal government summer service, I ain't cut no deals. And getting back to these fires, right, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
We need a commissioner of fire and rescue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of ambulance, all this fire, we need a bucket truck, we need a lot of things that our commissioner of police cannot handle. We need a dedicated first responders commissioner. Like every big city, Atlanta, Miami, New York, everybody have a fire rescue chief. You're able to train this man, make sure the equipment is new. See, we are in trouble. Now all this fire started, they have the little truck driving up and down the road. We don't have no bucket trucks, no helicopters. We don't have nothing besides wasting money here and there. And getting back to Mr. Roku, right? He sounds like one of my tenants who's short on breath. He would, because it sounds like hot to me. I don't know if he died, right? It's called angioplasty. The person in my hospital cannot do it. Put a stick on your veins and block your artery. You're going to go to the hospital. I tell you to get all the money ready. Here comes the second heart attack. Boom. So why put in my hospital can't put in stents in 2024? To unclog a block artery, I don't know. My mother had a mild heart attack in 2004. Good thing her was so bad, we'd go to the States to put in the stents. But she lived. It cost $40,000, but she lived. But she was in the hospital for almost 2 weeks. They swept a card for $7,000. She had eaten food and said, "Mommy, let's go to the States." We ran the regional hospital, and it's a man named Dr. David Jakovich.
She lived? Your mother lived?
Yes.
How many, is she still with us?
No, she left. She lived about 12 years after that.
12 years, okay.
12 after that, after the stents. She went in two stents.
Okay.
It's a little titanium thing to a vein in a leg.
Yeah.
And she's like, how
old? Me asking how old mommy was?
She was 75.
She was 75?
Yes.
When she...
She left at 75.
Okay.
Years old. About 9 years ago.
Okay.
But I'm saying, because of her going to the States, this is an 04.
Mm-hmm.
She could have extended her life 12 more years. Because now, British Medical Hospital don't do stents, heart attack. You don't go, but they say, if you don't have money, you can dead.
Wow.
So you have to go to the doctor's hospital where you got to speak. But if you have the money or the insurance, they will put in the stents.
Wow. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call. I couldn't speculate as to exactly what I only read the story to indicate that he had shortness of breath. And Dwayne, in his particular capacity, said that he always bunks his back. So if only we take this particular excerpt and identify it and scrutinize it, we'd realize that maybe this isn't the first time that this happened. At 88 years old, come on, someone talk to me. At 88 years old, he's still driving his little, I think he had a, was it a compressor? Little Mercedes. He was driving around, the little silver one. He would actually come and see me, always had his papers and so forth and so on. Baffled by the fact that I said, "You need me to help you up the stairs." And no, Howard, he's good. At 88 years old, he was coherent up until his passing. Don't fight him. He lived a rich and fruitful life. And he was able to pass on. His birthday would have been, his birthday 2024 would have made him 89. August 25th, 2025 would have made him 90 years old. Listen to me, man. That's a rich and healthy life that he's lived. I'm telling you, every one of us could continue to be able to shower him with accolades, no matter your indifference,
No matter your political view, you know that he represented nationalism first. And so we continue to be able to pray for his family, who's in a bereaved position right now, and know that his life is not in vain, that his contribution is significant, that the next generation and the one after will continue to be able to hear about him, as long as we are being able to speak about conviction in leadership in our politics. His name will forever rise to the forefront. Let me take a next telephone call. Caller on the line, go ahead. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi, Howard.
How's it going, my brother? What's happening with you? Caller, you still with me? You ain't with me. I'm not going to fight you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
What I'm forgetting to know about the baby aspirin, the 181 milligrams.
That's for thinning aspirin. The thinning the blood.
Yes. So it's an old skin citizen who don't drink it. Now, I think if you drink, you might have a little blood thinner in the alcohol. But I think the doctor Trump takes every morning. He called it baby aspirin. It stopped blood from clotting. So, what is that? The old Bahamians.
Take some baby aspirin.
Not every day, but two times a week. A coated baby aspirin, 81 milligrams. Mm-hmm. That'll help. It wouldn't hurt.
Okay, my brother. I appreciate it.
From the heart attack.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. All right. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I got a couple of texts here. I'm going to be able to read a few of those. So next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes, very pleasant. Good afternoon, Howard, and thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, my brother.
I just want to join in the sending condolences to the family of the late illustrious Roker.
Yes.
He's a son of the Island of Auckland.
Yes.
He's one of the few men. Interestingly, him along with the Honorable A.D. Hanna were men of great principles. I don't know if it's because they were on the island. They did not seek in politics to enrich themselves. You didn't find out where after they left government they were involved with these different corporations and appointments, different boards.
Mm.
Trying to
You're stepping on people's toe right now. Go ahead.
And I want to say to the people of Auckland that they had read two great Sons of the Soil. And I want to commend Glenys Hannah-Matt, the Honorable Minister, for recognizing Mr. Roker. I think it was September of last year. It might have been, anyway, in and around last year, I think, where they named Central High School in Auckland in his honor. And he said that that's one of the few honors he accepted.
I remember.
And it's one of the principles that he did. And I think that it was good that they recognized him in that regard. And he was a great son of the soil. He stood on principles, immigration. The soil is well known. He never wavered on protecting the Bahamas for Bahamians. He never wavered on that.
Yeah.
And I just want to convey my condolences to the people of Auckland. We've lost two great men in politics, Mr. Roker and Mr. Hanna.
Yes.
Who have set good examples for the upcoming politicians, you know, and they were principled men.
Yes.
Money did not move them, and they stood on what they believe in. Even His Excellency Mr. Hanna, he did not accept a knighthood.
Yeah.
Based upon principles. And I think more men of principles are needed in politics.
Thank you, man.
So I just want to send my condolences to his family.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines are wide open. Please participate. Next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
A pleasure. Good afternoon, Howard. Right.
Hey, what's up, Swaki?
Well, you know, it's a miracle these days to get to you, you know. I understand how excited you get when you get into politics. And between that and Jesus, I think that's the love of your life.
Praise God.
And I think that your other good friend from Grand Bahama, or Freeport, I should say, you from Grand Bahama, the other one is from Freeport, then Seattle and you get together, it's like you forget that the Bahamian people exist. You would allow when he has to call your private number neither the guardian. But anyway, suffering to be so, I would like to say my condolences from the family of Mr. Dunlop, alias Smoggy Mountain, to Mr. Loftus Roker. I remember so much about him. I just turned 73 on Saturday, the 4th of May.
Happy birthday, Sparky.
Thank you. Mr. Roker, 2 weeks ago, and we had that nice dialogue that you know he's always so willing to share with us in regards to his favorite theme was illegal immigration. He is willing to talk about that with a tip of fingernail. Mm-hmm. And we know that that was the thing that disgusted him in his spirit all his life. And we hated so much that he will tell you, and anybody will tell you, around the domino table or the card table in Montague Beach or the out by Porter's Key or any little bar that he already drink a Coca-Cola but not drink, don't smoke no cigarette or nothing, but he'll drink a ginger ale or a Coca-Cola. Loved his dominoes, loved his whist, loved cards, and there's another game he loved to call Worry. You ever played Worry?
No, I never played Worry.
You ever saw people play Worry?
I never heard about it.
It's an African game called Worry. Mm-hmm. If you go around the bars, you'll see some of the older guys, a lot of taxi drivers play a lot of something called Worry. It's like what do you call that tic-tac-toe with the little marbles on the table?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay, yes.
Yeah, it's something like that. It'll drive you crazy just watching them kind of play. But it's a wonderful game. But it is an African game. And let me tell you something. That man still hates the politicians of the day. And he always wondered why they hate Haitians. He don't hate no Haitians. He don't hate no Jamaican, Cuban, or nobody. But the fact that somebody can walk into your country and start a shanty town and build thousands of homes and break the law of the land by walking here illegally from the beginning, go into Lummus, buy in 2x4, buy in plywood, and going down in the bush in South Beach, and wherever you live, on the south side of the northern ridge. Remember, you cannot build no shanty town on the north side of the ridge. Nowhere on the north side of the ridge that runs from Vinton to Lyman Key can you build a shanty town. But anywhere south on the north ridge, from Fox Hill, Elizabeth State, Mackey Street, Centerville, East Street, you keep going down on the south side, you can make it down right in Campbell. And no black politician will do anything about it. No Minister of Immigration will do anything about it unless you try building on the white people's side. They will move it within a day.
Wow.
Now check it out. Tell me the truth. You try to build something on East Bay Street called a shanty town. It will not last a day. When them Solomons and them find out that Haitians come in to live next by them, that's different from when a Haitian is coming to work in their yard. It's two different things. You can come up to daddy at 7 o'clock in the morning if you're coming to work, but you can't come next door if you're coming to live. Because you're black. And you're from Haiti.
Now, I want drift.
Let me get off of that.
I don't want drift.
That's the truth. But that was one thing that he hated. And I can tell you that because he talked to me about it any time. Because he sat in many bars that was ran by my father and my uncle. Before I want to go his age was 88. But I wanted to tell you this. There's also a stalwart counselor out there, more stalwart than stalwart. Sir Cyril Fountain, my uncle, he's 95 years old. Sir Cyril Fountain is also Chief Justice of the Commonwealth of the Marble Islands. He's retired. He's just potentate, 33rd degree of all. He lives through Retirement Road off Shirley Street. He still sits there every day reading his law books. He's hard of hearing now. But he reads his law books every day, his Guardian, his Tribune every day. He can hardly hear now. You got to go close to him and whisper loudly to Sir Cyril Fountain. See, a lot of people in this country, y'all don't know Howard about the people that y'all know. I got a lot of things I can tell you with history, but most of the time, you two one-track minds.
Talking about Jesus and politicians.
You and C. Allen are very, very intelligent young men. A lot of the guys who call it as well, very, very intelligent young men, including our nagging brother from the PSP. I don't know how much way it is paid our boy.
You mean Anton? Bye, Sparky. You didn't drift 16 times today. I appreciate the telephone call. Shout out to Loftus Roker.
But Brave wouldn't give me a dollar.
You won't say Brave giving the man any money. Sparky, you're doing too much today. Thank you very much for your telephone call. Thank you very much for your telephone call, Sparky. Guys, please give me a call. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere. From the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Or hit me at 42247 lines. I can't laugh. I got to laugh. Sparky said the only thing I'm talking about is Jesus and politics, right? So I wouldn't know what to do if Jesus was a politician. I don't. Sparky, you need to stop. Guys, today we're talking about, and it's glad that we could be able to have a smile like this on such a somber moment. And the thing is that, you know, when we find ourselves in this kind of a position, if someone has been taken away from us far too early, you know, there's devastation, there's this sort of a heartbreak, there is this sort of a cry for the life that was because of the potential that exists there. But we know that Loftus Roker had lived a very full, rich life as it relates to being able to contribute, as it relates to standing in his purpose and his passion and identifying that thing and being able to move forward. I know that we're going to hear a great deal of things and positive things. A person is going to be able to say, guys, please give me a call and participate in the conversation today. Next caller on the line, go ahead.
Well, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Right here, my brother.
I'm listening to all the
commentary.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is sad that many Bahamians do not give accolades to the pioneers of this country while alive. But everyone tend, well, not everyone, but a lot of persons tend to sing the accolades after they would have closed their eyes for the last time on this side of Jordan. A. Loftus Roker is considered more than just a patriot of this country. He is considered really a national hero of this country by many of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so, for me personally, it does my heart good to see that he is a son of the soil, because the soil that I'm speaking about, that same Acklands Crooked Island, has brought about many pioneers that helped to build this country. We speak about Arthur D. Hanna. We speak about the former Commissioner Paul L. Paul Farquharson.
Mm-hmm.
We can speak about A. Loftus Roker.
Mm-hmm.
We can speak about my father, Edison, J. Edison Delaval. We can speak about many other pioneers, and they all came from the southern side of the Bahamas. You know, I think, as I said some time ago, the memoirs of these persons who have helped to build the modern-day Bahamas, these memoirs need to be penned. These memoirs need to be compiled and taught in our schools so the next generation, and even some of us who may not know the extensive work that many of them have done in this country, will now have knowledge of their contributions. you know. But, you know, sadly to say, the memoirs, I've heard that Aloftus Roker would have written some memoirs. I don't know whether they're just his personal pennings or whether the intent is for the information to come into the public domain. But I would love to see a lot of our pioneers actually pen books and actually get them out here so we can really observe them in the manner that we should, pay them the accolades that we should, not just by words, you know, but also by following their examples and doing some of the work that they have started. I think that would really move this Bahamas forward, upward, onward, and we do it together. But I'd just like to end my commentary there and just pay condolences to the family on behalf of the Delaval clan, the Acklands Crooked Island, Bemidji Crooked Island clan. We would like to send our condolences forward to A. Loftus Roker on this time and his family's time of bereavement. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate you, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, the line's going to be wide open. Let me take this quick commercial break and get back right after this.
The Foundation. Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Explore the wonders of the Bahamas at Sun, Sand, and Souvenirs, brought to you by the Tourism Development Corporation. This 8-store retail treasure chest is located on Bay Street, just 2 doors east of Bayside Food Store. Build a pal with your child. Purchase authentic Bahamian artwork or dazzling jewelry. It's a shopping adventure where the possibilities are endless. We're open 7 days a week, so join us today and let's create a community where innovation and opportunity thrive. See you there.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now.
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying for him out. Ain't be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIBRateIncrease.com.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. Today, we are just recognizing the life of A. Loftus Roker and being able to speak and charge the atmosphere with the positivity that he embodied while he was here.
If you're one of those persons that believe at your last breath, your exhale, that the spirit, the conviction, the ideas that existed in you are now going drifting off into the open space, into the void, into tomorrow. I really believe that it's time for us, younger persons, persons who are conscious enough to kind of tap into this, right? And I don't make it seem weird or anything like that, but if life is energy and energy is just constant, it's just moving from one space to another, then that means that there is an opportunity for us to be able to reclaim the glory days of, if not only the development from an economic standpoint, from a community standpoint, from this kind of a position where we're building the tangibles, but the intangibles, where conviction has a place in our society, where respect is identified and acknowledged, where we have a proper course to be able to travel, and there is this sort of a genuflecting for positivity. A. Loftus Roker embodied a great deal of that. And I hate to kind of throw these politicians under the bus, but anytime you step into public life, you're in the hot seat. And I think you should know it by now. It's time for you to be able to find your conviction again. It's time for you to be able to, well, Howard, what you want me to do? I need a job. I need to take it. No. It's time for you to test your faith. You haven't tested your faith. You haven't put it before your faith. You haven't identified supremacy. You haven't said, well, Lord, you called me to this position, and if I got to go to a Puff Daddy party, I ain't doing it. It's time for you to be able to push the envelope and test your faith. You don't have a testimony if you don't have a test. You have to test it and stand in your conviction. There was a call that I got. Somebody called me and says, Howard, they're telling me to do this, they're telling me to do that. And then I said to this particular person, and in due time and due season, we reveal all. Time is a revealer of all. I said to this person, I said, there is nothing that no one can offer you that you don't have the wherewithal to be able to stand, and it'll come towards you. Seek ye first. My, come on, I just get preachy, mad preachy. I said, there is nothing that anyone in their perceived position or their position that they desire to have can offer you that will not come to you once you stand in your conviction. You got to fight. Stop believing that these men who are seeking the same thing that you're seeking can offer you anything. They have nothing to offer you. Nothing. It's all a facade. It's not real. The only thing that is real is your faith, your conviction, your ability to stand strong. A. Loftus Roker was an embodiment, a representation of being able to stand strong. I got a text here. I'm going to be able to read this text also. It starts to talk about how, hey, Howard, don't forget the great Albert Donelson, who died January this year. I think that the only one left from the Dissident Eight is Mr. Arthur Folks. I suppose you mean from the persons who signed off for the Constitution. So it says, Howard, A. Loftus Roker blazed a trail that would be hard to follow, and he was respected by friends and foe. Even the late Sir Lyndon Pinden respected him and didn't look for no recognition. Great Bahamian, iconic son of Ackland. It's a text that's coming through. He said, precisely, Mr. Grant, we the people are the immigration problem. When we hire illegals and turn a blind eye to the shantytown because we don't want to pay the Bahamian labor. When our laws make it easy for people born here illegally to be granted citizenship. When we make money off of the suffering of people by jamming them up on our boat and charging thousands of dollars a head. When we tip the captain off so that he can evade Defense Force patrols. When we take bribes to adjust paperwork and close our eyes. Yes, we need another Loftus Roker to take the lead. But the shepherd is useless without the sheep. Put the blame where it lies, people. This is a text that's coming through. Let me take a telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Sir Grant.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
Yes, this is Fred Munnings, Director of Communications of the Commonwealth of Bahamas Region in Congress.
Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing?
Doing very well. Calling on behalf of Mr. Opie Ferguson, our president, and all of our 40 affiliates to express our condolences to the family of the late A. Loftus Roker.
Man, I appreciate you.
He was truly a giant of a Bahamian who stood up for right and justice for all Bahamians, particularly the workers of our nation. So you have heard all of the stories and the accolades showered upon him, deservedly so.
Yes.
Many people may not know he took a stand when it came to Bahamianization and the right of Bahamians to own our economy. He would not allow, and you've heard his stories, any foreign worker to come into this country while he was responsible for immigration and national security, where a qualified Bahamian was available for such a position. And even when he allowed it, they had to have understudies, and when their tenure was up, a Bahamian would replace them, or they would have to return to where they came from, and there would be another person to replace them if a qualified Bahamian was not available. So we applaud him. We thank him for his contribution to nation building. It's unfortunate, as you have already stated, that the nation has not really elevated him to the level of a national hero, which he deserves, and we are advocating for such. Thank goodness they had the wisdom to name the school in his honor down in Auckland. A humble young boy from Delectable Bay, the likes of Sir Clifford Darling and the likes of Obie Ferguson, the likes of C.B. Moss, and yet another giant of a man whom this nation owes a debt of service and a debt to his contributions to this nation. We have to stop waiting until people make their transition before we recognize them and we give them their flowers when they can smell them and appreciate them. Thank you for the opportunity. I am sure Mr. Ferguson at some later time will officially extend the condolences to his family, but on behalf of our group so far, we wish to extend such condolences and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call.
All the best.
All the best. Okay, so that was Fred Munnings being able to give us a call on behalf of Obie Ferguson and all those persons within their conglomerate. We thank you so much for your telephone call. Next telephone call, caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm well. I'd like to offer my condolences to the family of Sir Loftus Roker.
Mm-hmm.
I am saddened as a Bahamian today, you know, to learn of his passing.
Mm-hmm.
I applaud and appreciate and, you know, his efforts towards immigration. And I hope it inspires our Bahamian people to understand, you know, that we have a beautiful country and we have to stand up at all costs to protect it.
Absolutely.
You know, he's a humble man. I don't remember the award or the title. I know that he refused the title. You know,
yes.
He didn't need a title to represent his country and to protect our beautiful country. And I just find it admirable. And, you know, I want to offer my condolences to his family. He will never be forgotten.
Okay. I really do appreciate your telephone call. Thank you so very kindly for that. It's wonderful, warm sentiments that we continue to be able to shower and the accolades. This is only but a smidgen. This is only a pinch of what he's truly deserving of. And I'm hoping that in our small spaces, we can be able to provide the concept and idea of conviction and strength and being able to see our country move the direction it should move again. I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk like this. Let me take the next telephone call before we get out of here. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Brother Grant. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you?
Okay, everybody, you know, we all giving condolence on behalf of our families to the family of Mr. Loftus Roker. But I don't know if you had a chance to watch the interview with Mr. Roker when Mr. Hanna died, Edie Hanna.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it was Edie Hanna himself and he called another name H.O. Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
H.O. Ferguson is my granddaddy. That's my mummy's daddy. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're from Delectable Bay in Auckland. So my granddaddy was also the first chaplain of the PLP. So that's as far back as him in Lawson's Road in Indiana. Now, the last first gentleman that called before the lady, he was the first person I heard mention the name of Sir Clifford Darling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of them are Arkaners. Sir Clifford Darling, Eddie Hano, who were both governor generals. I don't understand why they never made A. Loftus Roker a governor general.
He rejected. Do you know how much things he rejected?
He rejected. To him. I don't know. I always saw him as a governor general.
Yeah, he didn't want to participate for the pomp and pageantry. We always spoke about that when he and I got together. He rejected a great deal of these things, and he wanted to be able to be steadfast in his commitment to serve the community. And I think he's done a wonderful job.
And like the lady said, he was a down-to-earth person.
Yeah.
I can tell you a little joke before I go. He was at the Portiski Dog playing dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
He sent a gentleman out for a pack of soda biscuit. The soda biscuit was $1.99. He gave the gentleman $2 and told him he could keep the change. So when the gentleman came the biscuit back, brought the biscuit back, he asked the people, like, what you could drink with that? He said, boy, that's why you'll always be broke. He got a soda biscuit. He got soda in that biscuit. He don't need nothing to drink. See, that's it. What he wants right there, soda biscuit. That's why he said soda in that biscuit. That used to be his joke on him every time he went to Port of Ski Dog.
Well,
but he did well, man. He did this country proud. He's a man among men.
Yeah.
You know, but we say God bless him and, you know, may his soul rest in peace.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you, man. I do appreciate your telephone call. Let me read a couple of these texts before we get out of here. Let me see. So it says, Orville Turnquest is the last man standing. I often saw Mr. Loftus Roker at Harbor in the food store. And he was happy to tell him thank you. I was happy to tell him thank you for your service while he was doing his errands. I am glad I did. And never miss an opportunity to show the true leaders of our servanthood love while they can hear you. I appreciate that. That's one of the things that we don't do often in our society. You often watch movies, or if you're in the United States of America and you see veterans, someone will stop and say, thank you for your service. But I don't think that we collectively as a nation, as a people, identify the men and women that serve. Now, is it because for the most part, over the past three decades, there has been service to self rather than service to community? Or is it because we don't have the nature of gratitude? Let's talk about these things. Let's talk about that, right? Let me see if I can read a couple more of these before we get out of here. It says, our schools really need to do better. This is a text that's coming through. It says, on teaching the people, it's the saddest part of Mr. Taroker's death is that he sounded like an important individual that I'm sure that Bahamians went to private school. I'm 46 years old of age, and I learned everything in high school about Columbus, but I did not have a clue about Mr. Roker. Yeah, you didn't have a clue about Mr. Roker because you're texting and you're typing Rocker. I'm not going to fight you, right? So let's see it right there, right? So I agree with you, though. It's important that we can be able to do that. Sir Arthur Folk signed it, right? He just celebrated his 95th birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, the last thing that I want to be able to say before I get out of here is that I am eager to identify the memoirs of both Elwood Donaldson and Loftus Roker. Often Loftus Roker would make a joke about the fact that when he passed away, he had put these things in writing. I had an opportunity to be able to speak with Mr. Donaldson. Now, he often, you know, went on with Steve McKinney. And I invited him to one of my shows before I got here at the Foundation. And he smiled and said he's grateful for the opportunity, but he doesn't think that he'll be able to do that. And he says he's going to leave it in his book. The estate of both Elbert Donaldson, Loftus Roker, and anyone else
in great position in this country. If you got them books, release it. Let's read those particular things and understand how we can get back to where we're supposed to be in this nation. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I think I have one more caller. All right. Caller, you got 30 seconds. Give a call.
Thank you, Howard.
Oh, that's Anton. Anton, what's up? Go ahead, Anton. Let Anton go. No. Anton, we're flat out of time. I do apologize about that. We're going to give you some time tomorrow to be able to talk about it, Anton. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show today. Condolences to the family. You continue to be in our hearts as we mourn the death of A. Loftus Roker. It's a beautiful day, guys. We're going to see you tomorrow right here on The Foundation, God's Spirit. Have a great day, guys.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.